this morning with my mind. Stand on Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It ain't no harm to keep your mind. Stand on Jesus.
On Jesus.
No harm to keep your mind.
Stand on Jesus. It ain't no harm to keep your mind. Stand on Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm walking and talking with my mind. Stand on Jesus. I'm walking and talking with my mind. Stay on Jesus. I'm walking and talking with my mind. Stay on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Our scripture for this morning will come from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1 and the following verses. And it reads, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For man shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, minded lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, for such turn away. For of this sort are they creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." I read from your hearing 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. May the Lord have blessings to the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy word. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, dear Lord, our God, our maker, our creator, our sustainer, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father God, we come, Lord, right now. Father, first we want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for us another day and another blessing that you have sought fit for us to be here this morning, to wake up. You touched us with your finger of love. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because you didn't have to do it, but you did. Lord, we know someone didn't wake up this morning, Father God. Lord, we know, Lord, that someone didn't wake up to feel the aches and pains that we're feeling right now, Father God. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the aches and pains that we're able to feel, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for being, Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Lord, not only dying on the cross of Calvary for our sins, but rising on the third day with all power in the heaven and earth in your hand. And Lord, ascending up to glory, Father God. And Lord, because of that, Father, we can say you have the whole world in your hand, Father. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Father. Lord, in spite of what's going on, Father, Lord, we know that you're sovereign, Father. Lord, we know, Lord, without faith, Lord, it's impossible to please you, Father. Lord, we have faith in you, Father, and we trust in you, Father. Lord, that you are the one, Lord. You are God Almighty. You are Jehovah Jireh, Lord, our provider. You're Jehovah Rapha, Father God, our healer, Lord. And we ask right now, Father, that you continue to provide for us, Father. Lord, heal those that are brokenhearted, Father God. Heal those that are sick, those who are struggling mentally, those who are struggling physically, socially, economically, Father God. Financially, Father God, give them an increase right now, Father God. Lord, in spite of what we've seen, Father God, what's going on the news, Father God, we know, Lord, that you're in control. But Lord, help us, Lord, to continue, Lord, to be vigilant, Father God, because, Lord, we know, Lord, that the enemy comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, Father God. But Lord, you said that you come, Lord, so that we may have life and so that we may have it more abundantly, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for your word, Father. Continue to hide your word in our heart, Father, so we may not sin against you. Lord, keep us on the straight path, Father God. Lord, we know, Lord, that how things appear, Father God, how things look like, Father God. People are being discouraged right now. Lord, people don't know who to turn to, Father God. But Lord, help us, Lord, to continue to lift to the hills from which cometh our help, Father God. For all our help come from you, Father God. Lord, help us, Lord, to cast all our cares upon you, Father God, because you said, Lord, you'll care for us, Father God. Lord, we know, Lord, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning, Father God. Lord, continue to give us joy. Continue to give us peace, Father God, that surpasses all understanding, Father God. Lord, help us, Lord, to encourage those who are lost. Lord, help us, Lord, to be witnesses to them, Father God. Lord, help them. Help us, Lord, to continue, Lord, to teach them, Lord, your ways, Lord. And, Lord, that way that they can see, Lord, the right path to take, Father God. If there's anything that is within us that shouldn't be, Father God, remove it right now, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father. Remove it right now, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Father. Right now, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word, Father. Lord, we thank you for everyone that is on this call, Father God, of New Kingdom Fellowship Church members, family, Lord, visitors, guests. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you continue to touch us, Lord. One by one, Father, and touch us, Lord, all together, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, to be unified, Father God. Even though we may not be in the church building right now, Father God, we thank you, Father God, because we can have church anywhere, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because we are the church. We are the body of Christ, Father. We thank you, Lord. We don't have to assemble in the building, Father God. Lord, you said, whether there are two or three, Father God, touching and agreeing in your name that you have been in this, Father God. We thank you for this opportunity to come virtually right now on Zoom, Father God, to say thank you, thank you, and thank you. Lord, bless those, Lord, who are sick. Bless those who are in the prisons, Father God. Lord, continue to be with them. Lord, help someone to encourage them, Lord, to keep holding on. Lord, keep pressing toward the mark, Father God. Lord, we thank you right now. Lord, because even though, Lord, some people might be by themselves, some people might be lost, Father God, we know that your word can convict and convert, Lord. Because, Lord, we know, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is enough. And, Lord, we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray and ask these things. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
New Kingdom Fellowship Church, we'd like to say welcome. All of you that are on the call, our members, our family, you are a family. We want to make that known, that you are a family, and we're thankful that you are here with us. And please know that we're going to do some more things virtually, so I ask that you'll get ready for it. We'll ask that you'll participate as much as possible, because even though we're not in the building, we're still a unit, and we still have work to do. We did mention that we would take an assessment of how everything looked dealing with COVID coming up in April. Please know that we will not be actually in the building, but please know that we are doing some things coming up with our building. We're doing some nice things. And so we ask that you just also be patient, and also please continue to support New Kingdom Fellowship Church, where Jesus Christ is the main attraction. Amen and amen. But we do not want to take this time for granted in this pandemic, this coronavirus. They said about 4,000 people died on yesterday. And I am a true believer, even though, yes, we know that God is real, COVID is real as well. So I encourage each and every one of you that you continue to please practice your social distancing, wear your face mask as much as you can. And I know some of us, we don't like to wear that mask over our nose, but please know that that's for not just your protection, but other people's protection as well, because it catches like wildfire. And once it catches, I tell you, it's very, very rough. It's a rough virus. It's nothing like the flu. I know about five of us have had it. So this is why we're also attending service by Zoom. I do not want to put your lives, my family's lives, my life in danger because of this virus. And we need to take this seriously. You know, we can tell people all day, don't come to church if you got a cold, if you feel like you got something. And sometimes people come. So we're doing this for the safety of you, our family, our loved ones, so that we can try our best to be healthy as much as possible during this time right now. So please continue to pray for everyone that's going through this situation. A lot of us have been affected. A lot of us have been impacted by this virus. So let's continue to pray for one another. And those who have COVID, I do know of Melvin Lewis who have it right now. Lewis and also his son, Jonathan Lewis, have COVID right now, and a couple more of their family members. So if there's anyone else that I'm missing, please try this in my head, not to my heart, but let's continue to pray for everybody because COVID is real, and we have to do our best to educate others who think that it's not real. Because one thing about it, I've been through it, and I wouldn't wish it on nobody. So we just wanted to give a couple of announcements on that. And also know that we have our Kingdom Word, Kingdom Living Bible study on Wednesday nights. If you don't have our church app, just text me. And a lot of our events are on our church app. So we encourage everyone to look at that. If you need that link for the church app, I'll be glad to send that out to you so you can have access to our events on our church app. Amen, amen, and amen. I'm so grateful and thankful for this opportunity because I don't know about you, but we can look outside and see some snow right now. This might be the only day possibly, but we're looking at snow. I don't know if it's snowing where you are, but it's amazing. I see some heads shaking. Somebody said, no. but yes, we're looking at some snow. So God is good in spite of. And who knows, we might get enough snow, maybe not, to make a little snow angel. But we're thankful because God's angels, his messengers, are surrounding us. And we're thankful that we have a messenger this morning that is able and capable to deliver the word of God. And we always ask that whoever speaks, whoever represents New Kingdom Fellowship Church and God, mostly God, our Father, that we stick with the word because the word is what? The word is a what? The word is our God. The word is our instructions. It's our manual. The word is our compass. Because as we say, even though we're going somewhere, we'll still need some guidance, some direction. And God has given us his word, and we thank him for that. And so at this time, a lot of us know of our associate minister, Minister Reed. We're so thankful that he is home this weekend. He's been traveling, going through some different elements, and he's made it home safely. And we're so thankful that he is here with us and that he has a word to share from our sponsor. Amen. Amen and amen. Minister Reed, I ask that if you can unmute your phone at this time, Minister Reed.
Good morning.
All right, good morning. We can hear you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. How is everyone today? Yeah. I'm hoping you're talking about the snow. I still got to get up and go deliver later on tonight. I'm hoping that it doesn't get too bad, but anyway, good morning. Looking at the events from the last few days, as a matter of fact, from all of last year, I see people are distressed. And you know what? We started off 2021 with, again, controversy. What happened Wednesday in the nation's capital never should have happened. You have people that are upset for whatever reason. You have people who seem to think that there was voter fraud, and they are not satisfied that some things they look for are not being done by our government. You have people who can have these feelings and then take out violence because they're not looking at things through God's eyes. God has a reason for allowing things to happen. Whether those people like Joe Biden or not, God creates our leader. God determines who kings are. And God has a reason for allowing everything. My message this morning is God always knows what he is doing. Our scripture comes from Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. And it reads, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, or you meant it for evil, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day to save much people alive." This is the story of Joseph. And, you know, I'm going to try and condense it, not go into the entire reading all the chapters. But the story of Joseph is a story about a man who went through much pain and suffering at the hands of people, and he did nothing wrong, but he was still, he did wrong. Evil was perpetrated against him. Joseph saw things through the eyes of God, something that many of us do not do. He had a view that transcended his circumstance. The problem we have in the world today is we have too many people who do not understand God's sovereignty. It may not seem when things are going wrong in our lives, in our city, in our state, in our nation, that God knows what he's doing, but God is sovereign. God allows things to happen for a reason. We must get to know that. Some already know that. I'm sure Pastor knows that. But there are many people who do not realize it. It's why in our world and in our lives, the people around us can go off on the deep end, when life is crazy and doesn't make sense. If your reference point in life is life itself, you're not gonna understand life. You're not gonna understand why the bad things happen. If your reference point is God, no matter how bad it is, you will understand what's happening. Sometimes bad things happen in the life of those of us who are walking with God, and those of us who are believers. Now, this message is for those of us who are believers. If you're not a believer, if you're not a spiritual person, if you're a carnal person, then you're not going to understand what I'm saying. So I'm going to try to make you understand in the best way that I can. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers because they basically were jealous of him. He was his father's favorite. They put him in a hole. God blessed him that the Ishmaelites come along and saw him. They took him out of the pit. They took him to Egypt, and they sold him into slavery, where he was sold to a man by the name of Potiphar. Potiphar eventually puts Joseph as his assistant, managing all the affairs of his house. Joseph is the Potiphar's wife approaches Joseph, you know, to attempt to seduce him, and she becomes angry at his rejection. She lies and says that he raped her or attempted to rape her. So Potiphar had him thrown into prison. While in prison, he meets these men. One man is condemned. Another man eventually is let loose. Joseph says to him, "Remember me. Tell Pharaoh I'm still here." But you know how it is when a brother get out of jail, he forgot about everyone else but himself. Well, as it happens, Pharaoh has a dream that he cannot interpret. And this guy all of a sudden remembers. He says, you know, there was this guy in jail who was good at this. He was good at interpreting dreams. So Pharaoh summons Joseph. Joseph comes to him, and Joseph interprets the dream. Joseph says, this is what the dream means. That's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. In order to get ready for the 7 years of famine, you must save and store from the 7 years of plenty. Pharaoh was so impressed that he took Joseph from the outhouse to the White House in one night. You talk about a divine, a divine stroke of luck, if you want to. I don't like using that word luck, but for now, I can't think of a better word. That was divine intervention, that a young man who came in as a slave would become second in command in Egypt, which also put him in charge of the food. I'm going somewhere with it, and I'll get to it a little bit later on. But Joseph now found himself second in command in Egypt. Okay, God allowed him to go through something, but now God has elevated him. Okay, sometimes we wonder why in life, especially if you walking with God, you talking with God, you living for God, and still God allows chaos to come into your life. We wonder why. It's a test. And he tested Joseph, and Joseph passed the test, and Joseph was elevated. Okay, now along comes Joseph's brothers. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 45, verse 4. Joseph's brothers had to come up to Egypt for food because now there's a famine. And when Joseph saw them, he recognized them, but they did not recognize him because it's been 12 to 13 years, okay? Back then, he looked like them. Now, he's living large. So, they do not recognize him. And eventually, they come in to Joseph, and Joseph said unto his brother, his brethren, this is Genesis chapter 45, verses 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land. And yet there are 5 years in the which there should be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Joseph is letting them know right there, my point, that they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God sent Joseph ahead of them so he would be in the right place at the right time to preserve life and be a blessing to many, even those who did him wrong. In Genesis 50, verse 20, it says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little one. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. My point is, he made my point right there. God knows what he is doing, and Joseph forgave them for the evil that was done against him. Many of us, when we're going through trials and tests in life, we become angry at God and we wonder where God is, not realizing. But now those of you who see things through spiritual eyes understand what God is up to. When you're going through difficult things, as we as individuals have this past year, and we are now still in the new year, going through COVID, going through the turmoil of a very, in my opinion, sad political season, going through a time when there seems to be unprecedented hatred in the United States. Those of us who are Christians wonder why these things are happening. You know, good people, Christian people, are coming down with the COVID. Businesses are shut in many states. Texas isn't as affected as other states, but in some states, people are losing their jobs because they have government that are stricter than ours and will not allow people to open businesses. People are hurting all over the land. Christian people, we need to understand that God is testing our faith. God is so big that he holds the whole world in the span of his hand. And if you know, the span of your hand is measured from your thumb to your pinky. God is big enough that he holds the whole world between his thumb and his pinky. He's big enough that he rules everything, but he's detailed enough that he misses nothing. God is not missing your suffering. God is not missing the bad things that are coming into your life because of the circumstances that we have in the world today. God is so detailed that if one sparrow falls to the ground, he knows it. So God knows about our problem. If we're going through a long period of suffering, a long period of things going wrong in life, it's a test. And God is taking us someplace. The longer the test, the bigger the thing is that God is eventually going to do. And God can pull off what he wants to when he wants to. But God has to sometimes put us through a test. We all this COVID and all this turmoil in our nation today, that's a test for those of us who say we are Christian. See, God doesn't want to hear us say, oh, I believe in you, I trust you. You know, when things are going good, everyone believes in God. Everyone comes to the church, they pay their tithes. They pray. But when things are going bad, are you going to continue to worship him? See, God, you know, there are people in Missouri, they say, we the show me state. You got to show me. God wants you to show him that you trust him, not just say it. That's why he allows things to happen. And sometimes not just on an individual basis, but this is testing the soul of a nation to see who we really are. We claim to be a nation where 70 to 75% of Americans claim to be Christian. Well, God is testing us now. This is a test. And there were some people in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday, some of them claim to be Christians. They failed the test. I don't care who you are and what your beliefs are. I don't care what your politics are. Quite frankly, I'm an independent. And I think we as kingdom people should be, because no one should have power over us but God. I think we should vote for people based on what the Bible says and not based on whether they are Democrat or Republican. That's just me. But God is testing us. And this nation is either going to pass the test or fail the test. When things do not go our way, we want to question God. See, Joseph was looking at the hand of God, even though the hand of man was perpetrating evil against him. See, when you have spiritual eyes, in the hand of man is evil. When the hand of man is coming against you, if you have spiritual eyes, you also looking at the hand of God, because the hand of God can use the hand of man to accomplish his purpose, even though the hand of man may be evil. God can still, God doesn't do bad. God doesn't make bad things happen, but God can use bad to accomplish his purpose. We see a lot of bad going on around us now. You might see, you might be a good woman whose husband walk out on you in a house full of kids. Or you might be a good man whose wife says, you ain't got enough of nothing to keep me halfway pleased, and she walks off. So in people walking out on you, you inspired to go get your college education to better yourself. See, God just used a bad situation to get you to improve yourself. God used a bad situation to get you where he really wanted you to be in the first place. Sometimes when God causes, allows bad things to happen, he allows it to happen because it's the only way he can get us to see what he needs us to see. Sometimes when things are always going good in life, we get lackadaisical in our spiritual walk with God. And we can't see where we need to go, where we need to be. See, if all you see is the bad in your life and you concentrate on that, but you don't do not see where God might be working in your life, then you missed the point. Then you simply missed the point. God allows bad things to happen to get us to where he wants us to be. And part of getting us where we need to be is we need to have forgiveness when we are done wrong. Joseph showed forgiveness to his brothers for their wrongdoing towards him. Many of us, we can't see that. All we know is we're going to get them. We're going to pay them back for what they did to us. When you see things through spiritual eyes, you will look at people who do you wrong in a different way. And I want to share a scripture with you. 1 Peter 3:9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Basically, that's saying insult for insult. But contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. What he's saying is, when evil is perpetrated against you, when you're done wrong, do not repay evil with evil. Do not give insult for insult. You know, I look at a lot of things on Facebook and I check out, you know, this is just me. I check out what people are thinking and doing. And I see a lot of insult on Facebook when it comes to agreements and disagreements on things. People want to cuss each other out. People say nasty things to each other. And I see, give you an example. I saw where some liberal people had some very nasty things to say about conservatives and Christians. You'd be surprised at what people saying about us. And then here are people who are supposed to be conservatives and Christians coming back with the same insult. It's some cuss words I can't use. God is saying, forgive those who do you wrong, and do not do evil for evil and insult for insult. Instead, give a blessing so that you may inherit a blessing. Joseph was done wrong by his brothers, but Joseph blessed them. I'm going to read this scripture again. I'm going to read it again, because I want you to think about this. Many of us have people who do us wrong, especially family members. Sometimes family are the main one. I want you to ask yourself, and this is a test to see where you are spiritually, to see where we are spiritually. I want you to ask yourself this question. Could you give a blessing to someone who mistreats you? Now listen to this. Listen to this. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little one. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Could you do that to someone who severely mistreated you? Joseph received a blessing because of his seeing things through the eyes of God and his forgiveness. He comforted his brothers who sold him into slavery, lied to his father and said that he was deceased when he was not, all because they were jealous of him. All of us have had people who are jealous of us on the job, jealous of us at school. We even have family members who are jealous of our success, no matter what that success is. Can you forgive people and even bless them? Because if you can, then you are going to inherit a blessing yourself. God always knows what he's doing. He used a bad situation to get Joseph where he wanted him to be. Let's go to Psalm 105, and I'm going to try and explain why he wanted to get Joseph where he was. Psalm 105, verse 16. And this is written by the psalmist years after these events happened with Joseph. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land, and he brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. They put him in prison. He was laid in iron. They put him in jail for something that he did not do. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Now, God's whole purpose for Joseph going in, being taken to Egypt, being sold into slavery and falsely accused, locked up, then released, and then made second in command in Egypt, was to keep a promise that God made to Joseph's great-grandfather, Abraham, when he said, I'm going to make a great nation of you. And for 400 years, the people would be in Egypt. Now, it says, Israel also came into Egypt. Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemy. And so while they were in Egypt, they multiplied and became a nation. Joseph was sent forward ahead of them so that he would be in the right place at the right time to preserve life. And thus, this is how God kept his promise to make the people a great nation. If it had not been someone being there with the knowledge to tell Pharaoh, you need to save because there's going to be a famine, many people would have died. And it, the promise that Israel would be a great nation could not have been kept. You see how God worked. They meant it for evil. It looked like every time Joseph was going up, he went down. And people wonder, how in the world can the Lord allow things to happen? Every time something bad happened to Joseph, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. When times are bad, when things are going wrong, when you're down, you're sick, when you can't pay your bills, when you don't know where your next dollar coming from, when you can't understand why people that you trusted have turned against you, when you can't understand why people can't see your point and the point that you're making, they see something wrong with it and they turn on you. You say, how can the Lord be with me when all hell is breaking loose in my life? That's because God is looking at where you are going and not where you currently are. If you're going through a test and you're a Christian, God is taking you somewhere. He's testing you. He's testing your faith. He's getting you ready for when he elevates you. Any man who's going to become a pastor of a church should always first be a deacon so he can be tested. You got to be tested. God can't turn you loose in charge of his house without testing you, without testing your faith. God's got to know what he's working with. I want to try to help you to not get down when things go wrong, because all of us have lived long enough to know that life is going to throw curveballs. We've all lived long enough to know that there are going to be people out there that's going to stick that knife in your back. We've lived long enough to know that just when we think everything is going good, here comes bad. If you're a believer, God is testing you. Some of us can't get elevated because we refuse to take the test. We refuse to pass the test. And God can't elevate any of us. You, me, us, until we pass the test. Sometimes things in our life have to get broken. Sometimes things in our nation have to be broken in order for God to get us where we need to be. I'll tell you a little story I learned about one of Dallas's best pastors, in my opinion. This particular pastor, and when I reveal his name, it may surprise you, he said that he played football and he got his leg broken. He said that football was everything to him. He said as he lay on the field with a broken leg that ended football career, he said, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. And so this led to circumstances that led him to seminary in Baltimore, Maryland. for he ran into a professor that encouraged him to come to seminary in Dallas, Texas. Where he met a professor who encouraged him, who challenged him to start a church. If it had not been for something in this man's life being broken, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship never would have been founded. I'm talking about Dr. Tony Evans. That happened to him. And he said that God wanted him in this place, Dallas, Texas, not Baltimore, Maryland, his hometown. God sent him here to start a great church. But God knew he never would get here if he'd been successful in his football career. So God took that away from him, broke his leg to get him where he wanted him to be. When bad things are happening in your life and you walking with God, get your praise on. Because God is up to something big in your life. Never doubt God. God will never fail you. It may look impossible, but God will make all things great in your life possible if you keep the faith. If you forgive people when they do you wrong, if you look at things through God's eyes and not look at things from man's perspective, God is up to something. God always knows what he's doing. You know, when they're training pilots, they put them in a flight simulator on the ground and throw every conceivable thing that could go wrong at them in the simulator so they can practice overcoming it. God does the same thing. See, they prepare the pilots so when they get up there, they know what to do because they learned what to do down here. And God is preparing us when he's putting us through these tests that we're going through now, these bad things. God is preparing us. God is honing our faith. That's what he's doing. He's letting us go through trials and tribulation. He's letting us go through being rebuked and scorned to show you've born. He's letting us go through things to hone our faith, to build our faith, and to get us to be the men and women that he wants us to be. He's allowing this nation some bad things to happen to test the soul of America. I hope we all pass the test. I hope we all stay in God's word. I pray that we all stay in God's word. And when bad things happen in life, we do not go off the deep end. But we keep praising God anyway. We praise him even though it's bad. We praise him just like it's good. We never give up on God. Never. Because man in this world is going to put us through some hell. But it's a test. To be sold into slavery by your brothers, to be a falsely accused and thrown into prison, it doesn't get any more hellish than that. But it was a test, and Joseph passed the test. And I pray that everyone at New Kingdom Fellowship Church and all over the land will pass the test. This test will pass. I pray that we all will be blessed with a new year in which our faith will grow, in which our church grows. I pray that we all come together and do some wonderful things at our church. And I pray that we have forgiveness in our heart whenever someone does us wrong. God will bless you if you do. You will inherit a blessing. Heavenly Father, I pray and ask this day that this message has touched someone, will help someone, to see where we're going, because we're going to better places and better times. Though it look bleak now, I pray that you will show everyone and guide everyone to stay in the Word, to stay faithful, and to look over these people and circumstances that come about and come against us and hurt us. Father in heaven, I pray and ask that you bless us all to conduct ourselves as Christian people should, and not as the worldly people do. I pray, Father in heaven, that our first response to any difficulty, to any roadblocks in life, I pray that our first response would be to turn to you in prayer. I pray and ask, Heavenly Father, that you bless all who have unforgiving hearts, to lose those unforgiving hearts. I pray, Father, for our nation. I pray for the outgoing president. I pray for the incoming president. I pray for the incoming Senate and House. I pray for all our leaders to do what is best for the nation. And I pray, Father in heaven, that you remove the evil one. I pray that you bless our people to understand that violence is not the means to deal with your frustration, as occurred on Wednesday. I pray that you bless all of us to not give insult for insult and hate for hate. I pray, Father, that you remind us all that you are Almighty Big God, and that nothing happens in our life that doesn't come through your fingers first. I pray for all our sick and shiny. I pray for all those going through emotional problems, because sickness is not just physically, but it can be mental. I pray, Father, that you give us all patience with all men in all circumstances. And I pray that you bless us all to remember that you always know what you're doing. Father in heaven, these things I pray and I ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. And may you all have a blessed Sunday. I wish peace, love, and happiness for all of you.
Amen, amen. Let's give it to him, Minister Reed. Minister Reed.
Hello.
Please know we're not dismissed yet. It sounds like he got almost a benediction, but thank you, Minister Reed. Well done. Well done. Well done. Amen. God knows exactly what he's doing. As we say, that he is sovereign, he knows best. One thing, you know, it reminds you of sometimes being a little child. Sometimes we think we know what's best. And we try to tell mama, we try to tell daddy, big mama, we try to tell them. But God said, wait a minute, you know who I am. Don't forget
who
I am. And God is a reward of those who diligently seek him. We thank ministry. This to light. Let's continue to make sure that we look at things with the spiritual eye, because the devil, if you're not careful, he'll get you caught up. And if you're caught up, you're not careful, he will turn your world upside down. Amen.
Amen.
So let's be careful not to get caught up in what all that's going on, but still continue to be vigilant.
And
things must happen according to the word of God. Prophecy must be fulfilled. No matter how people might want to shake it, no matter how people might want to fake it, God's word will stand forever. Amen. Amen.
There might
be on the call. Somebody might be attending the call that's in earshot of you. Someone might be a guest on the call. And we want to extend this opportunity for anyone that might want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ for the first time. You never know. There might be somebody that you have on the call right now, and some numbers I don't recognize, but we want to extend that invitation because somebody had to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ with us. Somebody had to drop some golden nuggets for us to know that God is real and that he sent his son, his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And somebody had to tell us that not only did he die on the cross for our sins, but his blood was shed for the remission of sins so that we can go directly to him. We don't have to go before another man, another preacher, to ask God the Father what it is that we want, what it is that we desire, what it is that we need to make our request known to him. We can go straight to God the Father. So there might be someone here that's wanting to accept Jesus Christ, someone that's maybe looking for a church home. Please know that we'll be excited to have you at New Kingdom Fellowship Church, where Jesus Christ is the main attraction.
Because that's
what it's all about. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. But collectively, as we are children of God, marching in Zion, God has given us a commandment, which is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. So we have a command that was given to us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why the church is still here. That's why we're still here right now as brothers and sisters, as children of God, sons and daughters, to share the gospel, because there are some people that are still lost. There are some church members that are going to church every day, Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, year after year, people who have been in church all their lives and still don't know God and still going to a devil's hell that was not prepared for them. We have to get it right, dear ones. We have to get it right. God didn't prepare hell for us, but hey, he loved us so much that if that's where we want to go, he'll let us go. But I don't encourage you to go.
Yep.
I wanted to encourage you to keep pressing on, because we're all going to a place where the wicked will cease from troubling and the world will be at rest, and every day will be like Sunday. There's a Sunday saying, Jesus, 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 there's something about that name. Anybody know that song? And it says, Master, Master, Jesus, like the fragrance that's after the rain. We should be following after Jesus. We should be chasing after him. Because Jesus, all heaven and earth is going to proclaim that he is what? The King of kings and Lord of lords. Dear hearts, let's make sure that we call on him. When we think we have no one else to call on, we can call on him. Because in the end of that song, we add this other song that says, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Again, thank you, Minister Reed, for a job well done. We're moving right along. We don't want to keep you long. We're about past the hour, but we do want to acknowledge that for those, we're asked that you continue to support New Kingdom Fellowship Ministry, your church home, through your tithes and your offerings. We'd like to thank you all so very much. You all done a beautiful job in 2020. Amen. And let's keep it up. Let's keep it up. If you did not know, some people might not even know what we're required to do. And the Bible says that we are required to what? Pay our tithes and pay our offerings. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody said, wait, what's tithes? Well, tithes is a tenth of your earning, right? We might have, somebody might not know that. Somebody might not know that this is what we're required to do. You can't say that you want to be a part of a ministry and yet there's no outreach, and then you say, well, what's going on? Hey, we got to do something, right? So the church is supported. There, even though we're not even in the building, bills are still what? Still due. Bills are still due. It's amazing how we're not in the building, but we still get a gas and a water bill. a life. Amen. So we'd like to say continue to support the ministry of the Independent Fellowship Church through your tithes and offerings. And we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. And it reads, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a who?
Cheerful giver.
God loves a cheerful giver. If you're not cheerful while you're giving, you might not want to do that. Because God wants you to be blessed. God wants us to be a cheerful giver. Amen. Amen. If you're needing to contact me after the service, Sister Reed, Sister Curvin, Sister Lopez, we ask that you would do that and let them know if you want to give online. We do accept online as well. Thank you so very much for your obedience. Thank you so very much. Amen. And
amen.
I'm just so happy to have everyone on here. I think this is the most that I'm looking at on the screen that we have had almost all of our members on the Zoom call. Minister Reed, they knew you was preaching today or something. Amen. Amen. We'd like to thank everyone for your attendance. Next time, we'll have our official thank you coming from Sister Freddie Lopez. Oh, you're still on mute, Sister Lopez. I'm sorry.
Oops.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for being here. It's wonderful to see everyone. Wonderful to pray together, to hear the wonderful message from Minister Reed, and for us to all be in one accord with the Word of God. We thank you, and you're all welcome to assemble together. Like Pastor said before, and it's in the Bible too, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst. God is always in the midst. So we thank you and we welcome you. Goodbye.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Mr. Lopez. Thank you. Everyone, dear hearts, from Lady P and I, we'd like to thank you once again. We hope that y'all have a fabulous day. And it's still snowing outside over here. I don't know about where you are, but it's snowing. And I think the kids might be able to maybe do a little something out there. You adults know that you're not too old to go outside and play in the snow. Not too old to go. Come on now. I'm going to play in the snow. Come on. Yeah. Once again, thank you all so very much for joining us, New Kingdom Fellowship Church, where Jesus Christ is the main attraction. God bless you. We love you. And take care.
Thank you.
God bless.
Okay, bye.